So this week, a lot of people were asking me, are you going to be at service on Sunday since Scott's doing the talk? And I said, yes, I'm selfish. There's no way I wasn't going to be here to hear his final message, but also to have the opportunity to embarrass some of them. No. Many of you know, I mean, Scott's been a fixture at Namaste since nearly the beginning, and I've watched him take that daring step, and trust me, it is a cliff, and you have no clue what is coming when you enter ministerial school. You really don't. But to take that commitment to say, I'm going to learn more about God, life, and see where it leads me, and watch him grow, and over the last couple weeks, as some events have unfolded, he has actually been, along with my wife Michelle, my rocks, to just be there for support and counsel. And so my heart is with Scott, and I really, truly love this man. I know you do. He will be sorely missed, and Redondo is getting a great blessing. And so I love you, and I look forward to what you have to say. So why not come on up and do it?
All right.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, here we are in week two of our AIF program. And AIF just stands for Adventures in Faith. And it's our prosperity program that we have each and every year, have it for about 5 weeks. And it's a time for us to come together in community and in life, that great journey that we call life. Come together and know prosperity more fully, more deeply, as our individual lives and also as our community. And so last week, Reverend James, he introduced us to a book called Happy Money. Happy Money by Laina Buenostar. And there's a subtitle on this book. It says, increase the flow of money with a simple two-step formula. That's a nice catchy tune, right? And so it is. I mean, it really is. It's a very small book. You can buy it for 99 cents on Kindle. I highly recommend that you buy it and read it. Short, sweet, two steps. First step, Reverend James talked about last week, is giving. It's funny how that is. In order to be prosperous, we have to give. And he talked about having a relationship with money. And from a giving standpoint, what is our relationship with money as we give? It's really important to understand that and to know what our feeling is. It's really the feeling as we give that money that's important in this creative process. And one of the watchouts that we need to be careful of is that sometimes when we give, it gives, you know, we start thinking we're going to give this out of our good, and we start thinking about all the things that we could do in our own life with whatever we're going to give. And it takes us to a place of lack. So we want to be aware of that. We want to be cognizant of that thing in our life where it happens. It's natural. But there is this thing called the law of circulation that he also talked about, which is, if you've been at any Center for Spiritual Living for very long, you've heard about the law of circulation. It is a fundamental principle that we teach, and especially when we're talking about prosperity, we talk about the law of circulation, how you go from giving to receiving, you go from receiving to giving. It's just a flow around and around in the circle. But one of the things that happens is you get to, you know, you can end up kind of looking at that law of circulation. If you don't hear it completely, you start thinking it's crazy math. Because if you start, you're being told, give more and you'll be more prosperous. And you go, the math on that sounds funny. I'm going to give more and yet I'm going to have more. What? Well... Well, what you have to remember is that you're going to give more in order to receive more. You receive more than you give, and therefore you are more prosperous. And that's a very important piece. And then he talked about the happy method, happy money method. And the happy money method is just simply a process where you take a dollar bill, you put a note on it that has a blessing on it, something along the lines of, this money is for you, have a wonderful day. Whatever you want to write on that that would go out and be an anonymous blessing to somebody. And so the method is, I anonymously put this dollar bill with the note on it somewhere where nobody's going to know that it was me that put it in there. And then I'm not going to know who's going to receive it. And the reason this is important is because it gives us a different way of feeling about our giving. It frees us from the expectations of our giving and allows us to kind of soar in the feeling of giving and the joy of giving, and that's what the universe is going to react to. That idea of how we give. How we give. So this week is the second step of the happy money method. We're going to be talking about receiving. Aren't you glad you came to week two? You get to receive this week, right? Pretty good deal. So, as Reverend James mentioned 2 weeks ago, I did announce that I'm leaving. This is my last Sunday here. And so since it's my last talk as a member of Namaste, what I have done today is the talk title is Receiving Namaste. And what I want to talk about is I want to talk about the spiritual principles of receiving. And I also want to talk about how I have received from Namaste over the years and how that has been part of my own spiritual path. So first, I want to ask you, what do you think abundance is? What is abundance and prosperity? Well, there's a quote from the Happy Money book that says, abundance doesn't always come in the form of cold, hard cash. Cars are pretty good too. There's a Lamborghini out there. You know, when I came to Namaste 17 years ago, that's what I thought abundance meant. And if you would have told me that we were in a prosperity program, I would have been standing there going, show me the money. Show me the money. That's what I want. But the minister that we had then, Reverend Dr. Kristen Hawkins, it got to be a mouthful when she added the doctor on. But anyway, Kristen, she used to say, and this was a staple, it was something that I think has been enculturated at Namaste, so you're going to recognize this if you've been here for a while. Prosperity is moving forward with joy, confidence, and ease. Joy, confidence, and ease. And, you know, that puts a completely different spin on receiving your prosperity and being prosperous than it is when you think cold, hard cash. But let's just kind of take that apart for a second. Is it true? Well, I think so, because when I'm moving forward, first of all, I'm moving forward. I'm not moving backwards. And I'm moving forward with joy. Joy. Right? I'm not down here somewhere. I'm up here in joy. And I'm moving forward with confidence. And what does that mean? It means that I'm taking this next step, and I know it's the right next step for me. Why? It's not because my head told me, it's because my heart led me. And I'm doing it in ease, which just means that on my path is easy and filled with grace. And when we sit in that place of moving with joy, confidence and ease, and that's our definition of prosperity. Cash is important. I love cash, but I would rather know some of this other things. I would rather recognize some of these other aspects. So I want to tell you a story. I was on the freeway the other day, and I'm interchanging between freeways. So I'm over on the right, having just got on the freeway. And of course, I like to drive in the fast lane. That's just my story. But I'm looking over to the left to see where and how I can merge when I see that there's a car. We're doing about 60 miles an hour. And there is a pigeon. And he is flying right in front of the bumper of the car, doing 60 miles an hour. And as I look over there, I'm like, oh my God. And then, you know, the car is kind of inching up on him, so he's, you know, flying even harder, faster, faster, faster. And he inches up a little bit above the car, and I'm standing there going, pull up, pull up. And then I realize, I'm talking to a pigeon. You know, but the thing is me talking to that pigeon didn't do that pigeon any good. Because when he's in that, he's a pigeon, he's speaking pigeon, right? I'm not speaking pigeon. I'm speaking the truth. Pull up, right? Okay, so when we are in that place of being that pigeon, when we're in that place of all I'm seeing is the cars behind me and knowing that I have to go faster and faster and faster, this is what I look like. So, and so, you know, I look at it, and I think, you know, I never really had a concept of the rat race. I never had a visual. But now I have a visual of what that looks like, and I call it the pigeon race. You know, when I look like this, I am in the pigeon race. And this isn't a very comfortable place to be in. So we're going to talk a little bit about receiving in such a way that we're not here, but instead we're over here, right? So receiving, let's talk a little bit about that. From the book, The Happy Money Book, she says, the author says that we have a relationship with our money. Remember, we had a relationship the way we give, but we also have a relationship in how we receive. How we receive money, we have a relationship. And so you might be going, not quite figuring out how that might look in my life. So I'm going to give you an analogy. How about if we say that our relationship with money and receiving is kind of similar to our romantic relationships also. So let me show you how. I'm an old married man. Gabriel and I have been together for 21 years. And on Tuesday, it will be 9 years that we've been married. And yes, I know that Tuesday is Halloween. There's a whole story about that. We got married on the Friday, which I had off before Proposition 8 was being voted on. And so anyway, long story, but we got married on Halloween. It's been a wonderful 9 years of marriage. It's been even a better 21 years. But I'll tell you, as a married man of such long time, I have a very steady relationship with Gabriel. I don't want it to change. I don't want a lot more out of him. I don't want less out of him. That's my relationship with him, and that's a similar relationship that you might be having with money. You've had a comfortable relationship with your prosperity, with receiving. In this way, which, you know, you have a standard paycheck, it comes in, It's nice, it's steady, you can count on it, everything's good. But what happens when you want to invite in more money? Well, now you need to start looking at it more from I'm dating, right? This is a dating methodology, you know, a relationship, a romantic relationship that we're having. And what's the first thing that you got to do if you're going to date? You have to go find somebody to date. You know, you have to be inviting enough that somebody is going to show up for you. And how do you do that? We won't get into the details. Everybody has their own methods. But I have a suggestion for you. You give more love. That is a great way for you to be in a good romantic relationship with somebody new. You're giving love out everywhere. And that makes you inviting for a person to come into your life. And it's the same thing with money. I want to be inviting for that money to come in. I want a new relationship with money. I'm inviting something different to come into my life. Be inviting. Maybe give a little bit more is one way of doing that inviting. That's the law of circulation. That's how it works. So, yeah, so it's another thing that the author says is speak to your money. Thank it. Thank it for showing up. Thank new money for showing up. Be in gratitude because that is like being in prayer. And then the last thing that she says is she says, are you ready to receive? Are you ready to receive? And it means, are you ready to receive from the standpoint of, do you have obstacles in your life? What kind of obstacles might you have? Well, here's one that I think we all need to be a little careful of. Things in our life where we feel guilty or ashamed with respect to money. And however it might have shown up, maybe, you know, something happened where you didn't give money to a friend who needed it because you used it for your own use. Maybe you felt guilty about that. I'm not saying that you should. I'm just saying maybe you did. Or maybe money came into you and you felt like you didn't use it wisely. You spent it frivolously. You know, there's a different scenario for every one of us. Anything can happen. But what I want to tell you is, how do you get beyond that? How do you have a different relationship? If this is the barrier that you have, how do you have a different relationship with money so that it isn't a barrier? Well, you reframe that thought. And it goes like this. I'm going to take an example of somebody else. If somebody else, I feel like they did me wrong in whatever way, I can go to blame. I can go to shame. I can blame them. I can try and shame them. I can do all of those things. Or I can step back and I can drop down inside of myself. And I can say this truth, because this is always true, that person in that moment was doing the best that they could to meet their needs. The best that they could to meet their needs. Now we do that same thing for ourselves. You know, turn it around. Whatever that barrier is for you, whatever that memory was for you, remember that in that moment, you were doing the best that you could to meet your needs. And that's a process of being gentle with yourself. That's a process of allowing yourself to move beyond, to grow, to live life more fully, because we don't need those things. We don't need those things that are our barriers. They're a barrier. Let's get rid of them. So she also says one more thing. She says, no one is more worthy than another. You are entitled to what the world can offer just by the virtue of being born. What is that? There's another word for that. It's called grace. When we recognize and know this fundamental truth of ourselves, that God is perfectly happy with us just the way we are, without having to change one little thing about ourselves. That's grace. That's the truth. And that is the truth of our relationship to God always. And so when we live in that place of knowing grace, what happens? The hierarchy that we normally live in our world goes away. It melts away. This idea that you or you or you are more worthy of the good that the world has to offer evaporates. And we realize and we recognize in the oneness that God is that we are all worthy in the same way. Every last one of us. No matter what we think, what we believe, what we are, we are always worthy just by the virtue of being born. So I told you that I feel like sitting on the step. I'm going to sit on the stool for a minute. Because what I want to do is I want to tell you about my own personal receiving namaste. I want to tell you what it's meant for me to be here for 17 years. And I know there's only a handful of people that have been here longer than I have. And so most of the people here in this room were not here when I arrived. And yet, you are all part of Namaste. You are all who I have received from in all the different forms and all the different varieties that have come about. You know, you are the Namaste that I've received from. Now, 17 years ago, when I first came here, I was unchurched. I only came to support a friend of mine. I didn't come to go to church. And the reason I was unchurched was because at that time in my life, I had never heard a message about God that resonated with me. The messages of God that I had heard, and I'm saying there's many other messages, but these are the ones that I heard growing up. They said God was judging. I didn't believe that. They said that God would condemn me for being gay, even though God created me that way, as far as I was concerned. I couldn't stand with that. And when I came to Namaste, what happened was now I had a relationship with the God of my understanding, and you gave me that. And you gave me more than that. What you gave me was a love for God. A love for God. And I never had that before. I also know that, cold hard cash. I got to tell you, when I came to Namaste and I started learning the prosperity principles, the money rolled in. And, you know, I am grateful for that. I am so grateful. My income doubled in 5 years. And it's not that I didn't have tools that was for making money before I came. I had a bachelor's degree in applied physics from UCI. I had a master's degree in applied physics from Caltech. I was a department manager already. And yet these tools that we teach here, they opened me up to live a much more prosperous life. And to be honest, I mean, prosperity is many ways. And one way is cold, hard cash. And I'm very grateful to have received that, to be quite honest. And another thing that you guys gave me was I became a father. When I came to Namaste, the idea of being a father was not there. It wasn't even close to being there. And one day after service at Namaste, when we were down in the trade center at the Hilton there, and there was tables out in the courtyard, there was a table for the Orange County Adoption Service. And Gabriel and I went to the table, and we talked to them, and we came away, and we looked at each other, and we said, we could do that. We could adopt. And so we have. We've adopted 3 children, 3 beautiful boys out of foster care. And the first 2 came to us. They were 13 and 16, and I became an insta-dad of teenagers. What a wild ride that is. And I didn't know how to be a father, but what I knew was how to love, because you taught me how to love. And so from the very first night, I was able to say, good night, I love you. And I knew I meant it, and they knew I meant it. And it's really, really important that it takes a village to raise a child. And you guys, Namaste has been my village in raising 3 children. John is 16. He's back in the kids' room right now. And we've had him since he was 6. So 10 years you've been my village for John. Cody and Dylan are 30 and 27. I have a 5-year-old grandchild from Cody. 5 years old. And you made me a minister. You gave me my ministry. This thought of loving God kept growing, kept growing, kept growing. And I became a practitioner 11 years ago. And believe me, all of your practitioners are ministers. And I started ministering here. I started praying with people. I started teaching classes. I started counseling. I started doing all of that. And I wanted to do more. And so I did go into ministry because of you. And I did become a minister. And it takes a village to raise a minister. And you've been my village. So I just want to thank you for all that I've received from Namaste over the years. And I want to go back to the pigeon for a second. Because as I sped, I tend to speed a little bit on the freeways, but as I sped past the pigeon and the car and everything, and I was moving over, I looked in my rearview mirror, and what I saw was that the pigeon went up, up and out, and he was free. And I didn't do that. I think God did that. God has a way of telling us how to be free. God has a way of telling us what our next step is. And so we want to remember when we look like this? We want to look like this. And this is what we look like when God leads us. And I want to tell you two quick stories about that. One is, how do you follow in God's footsteps? How do you let God lead you as an individual? And I'm going to tell you my story around that over the last 6 months. And so 6 months ago, I saw a flyer. I saw a flyer for a spiritual retreat at Lake Arrowhead with this community called Redondo Beach Center for Spiritual Living. And my head said, what? Another spiritual retreat? Because at that moment, I was still in ministerial school. I was in the flow of ministerial school. I had papers due and internships due, and I was getting ready to graduate, and I was speaking at the graduation, and I had oral panels to come up, because which are important because they can say no. Not that they ever would. No. But, you know, your mind goes a little crazy sometimes. And so I had all this on my mind, and I saw that flyer, and my heart went, whoom. And when my heart went, woof, I know that means that God is telling me to take a step. And so I did. Now, I had just been to a spiritual retreat with ministerial school, the spring retreat. I had been to the Namaste retreat. And here I was signing up for yet another retreat. Why? I don't know. God showed me the way. When I got there, I met a lovely community, lovely group of people, and I got to know Dr. Moira Fox a little bit better. She's a lovely senior minister at Redondo Beach, and we started talking. And I said, I'm in ministerial school. I don't know what the heck I'm doing when I'm done. It's just honest. And then when we talked some more, I said, you know, what if I came to Redondo Beach? Here's the things that I think I could get from you, and here's the things I think I could give to you. Giving, receiving, what a nice flow. And I was still in this thing of, okay, I'm finishing up school, and I have a full-time job. I have a house. I have all this stuff. How do I do that? I can retire, I get a retirement, but, you know, how do I make everything balance? So, you know, I'm walking down the street, my head's going, sell the house, sell the house, sell the house, get the expenses down. And I say that to some friends, and all of a sudden they go, oh, we would like to rent out the front of your house. I'm like, okay. Now I don't have to sell the house. Now it's easy. The way is easy, filled with grace. And then I had told Dr. Moira that I wasn't feeling centered. And I needed to go and center myself before I made any final decisions about anything. So I went to Thailand for 2 weeks. I was in Chiang Mai. And I love the Buddhist temples there, and I walk for miles every day, and I just walk around, and I contemplate, and I have a good time. Oh, and I eat too much. But but I came back, I felt centered coming back, but here's what happened when I got to L.A. I'm flying into LAX, descending. You know that moment when the rubber meets the road, right? The wheels hit, and there's this, and you're kind of thrown forward. Well, there was that physical sensation, and again, I felt that whoosh through my heart. That thing that I always listened to. And it was saying, you have to start ministry now. And so I got off that plane and I started making all of the arrangements. The arrangements to retire from my job. My last full-time day is Tuesday. My last part-time day is January 5th. And I start at Redondo Beach on Wednesday. I don't know where this is heading. And I think you as a community feel that with me. I don't know where it's heading. But I know in my own individual life that all I need to do is feel my heart moving. And I want to tell you how a community, how I have seen a community move in the same way. Valerie said that we just came back from retreat, the annual practitioner's retreat. And what I saw at that practitioner retreat was a circle of people who held the love that God is in the center of that circle with such certainty that anything that needed to be said, including a few things I needed to say, went into the center of the circle and they landed on the love that God is. And so that's what you need as a community to move forward, is knowing the love that God is, giving a place to open to all things that are on our hearts, and allowing those things to come out and be in that circle and held in the love that God is. Today, at 12:15, we have a healing circle. That's what that circle is for. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, we have a healing circle. That's what that circle is for. So I just want to wrap up by saying this community has given me so much. You really have. You've given me so much. And the good thing to know about that is the law of circulation means that it comes back to you tenfold. Thank you. And namaste. I love you too. So let's just seal this with a prayer. I drop down inside of myself to that place that knows that it knows that it knows. I drop down inside of myself to that place that lies open to the infinite. I drop down inside of myself to touch, oh so briefly, but oh so powerfully, that presence which lies there, always available, always the love that God is. And I know from that place, the very soul of me knows that that life, that power, that presence that God is all that there is, that it is the love and the peace and the joy, and that we get to know it fully, completely, selflessly, as ourselves, as each and every one in this community, including the ones that aren't here today, including all of the people that we touch, this city that we call Long Beach, this state that we call California, this world that we call Earth. That that life, that power, that presence is moving through us, and that we know absolutely as we move with the presence that God is, that we move forward with joy, with confidence, and with ease. And I know absolutely that that is the truth of this community. That this life, this power, this presence has been summoned here. It's always been here. It's been revealed here by the intention of knowing God more fully in, as, and through our lives. And when we do that, which we always are doing it in one way or another, God just says yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, my darling. Yes, my beloved. Yes, yes, yes. And so I know as you move forward, as we move forward, because the truth is that there's always going to be a little piece of me here in the oneness that God is. As we move forward in this life that God is, that the blessings flow with ease and with grace. And for knowing that truth, for knowing the life that God is so fully, so completely revealed right here in this center called Namaste, I just give thanks. And I release this prayer into the law, knowing that it's already fulfilled in the mind that God is. And I say, life and God are good and very good. And together we say, and so it is.
So it is.
Amen.